Today on Real Life Radio.
If you believe Jesus Christ is coming back soon, your Christianity, your faith will be put to the limit. You will listen, you'll push every corner and every curve because you're trying to get as much out of this for Jesus in your body, in your life as you possibly can. I don't care about a pretty church. I don't care about anything. Oh, look at that. Listen, can you get in it and can you go? Can you go all the way to heaven?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey friends, I want to excite you about our featured item of the month, and this is a tremendous book. Listen carefully though, it's a very small book in size, but it is gigantic in power. I'm talking about A.W. Tozer's classic, The Pursuit of God. The Pursuit of God is a book that I have to read at least once, sometimes twice a year. It is so good, and you'll love it. In one of the chapters, he has labeled The Blessings of Owning Nothing. What could that possibly mean? Well, get a copy for yourself and find out how liberating and freeing that this little book can be in your life as A.W. Tozer takes the Word of God and opens it up to you in a very sweet and personal way. The Pursuit of God by Dr. A.W. Tozer.
The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God by turning your gaze slowly towards Him. The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with a message titled, What Happens Next? This series is a study in what the Bible says about the future and why it matters in our lives today. You see, God doesn't want us to be ignorant when it comes to future events. Bible prophecy was given to us by God to give us a future and a hope. So, what happens next? So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that what starts the beginning of the end is the rapture of the church. Christ was offered once to bear our sins, but to those who eagerly wait for Him, the Bible tells us that He will appear a second time in the rapture for our ultimate salvation. Now with His message called, What Happens Next? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The archangel is going to herald. The word's herald. The word, we look at the word, it's the word phone, by the way, just like you know it to be spelled, but the Greek word is phone or phoné. And it means to communicate language. So what is the angel going to say? We don't know. He's going to say something. He's going to communicate. When the angel voices, the church is going to hear something. So Jesus is going to shout, wow. Something communicated linguistically is going to come from an archangel. I wonder who it is. Which one is it? Listen, we got Gabriel in the Bible. Michael and Lucifer, archangels. I don't expect to hear anything from Lucifer at that moment. And Gabriel's throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. Gabriel's amazing. He's an archangel. He shows up. Gabriel, he's the guy. He's, if I can say this respectfully, he's like the white collar Harvard graduate archangel. He's got like a clipboard. He makes announcements. Mary, blessed art thou among women. You're going to have a baby. Merry Christmas, Mary. Gabriel gives announcements. He makes announcements every time he shows up in the Bible. He makes an announcement. It's like the PR department of heaven. Announcement. Michael. Michael's terrifying. Michael shows up. Michael doesn't talk much. When you see Michael in the Bible, Michael shows up and he's, You want me to do these two over here? I can do it. Michael's always fighting. He's fighting. Listen, in the book of Revelation, Michael will fight against Lucifer in the atmosphere. Yeah. Michael in the Old Testament, boom, boom, fight in the Old Testament. He's warring. He's a warrior. Listen, Daniel saw angels and he became sick for many days. He couldn't eat and he couldn't even get out of bed. Daniel saw an angel, freaked him out. That's amazing. And every time I think of archangel, you know, my mom had these cherubim. What are those? There's the cherubim. And they're little chubby, naked babies with wings with an arrow over our bathroom. It's like, what is this? They're nothing like that at all. Thirdly, when we're all gathered together, it says, thirdly, with the trumpet of God, the trumpet of God. The word trumpet here, revelry, it means to blow the bugle, the trumpet blast. It means to do that with intent, to rally the forces or to rally the troops together. Number four, where does the rapture occur? Where does it occur? You might say this is a trick question. You just said it's going to be in the atmosphere. Technically, watch this. The rapture is going to, number one, occur underground or beneath, subterranean. The dust is going to arise. The bodies are going to come together. The rapture begins there. Secondly, we know that he's going to bring those that died in Christ with him into the earth's atmosphere. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. He brings with them to be reunited with their glorified bodies. Then we who are alive, this is the third location, us here and now, if we're that generation living, we are going to experience, the rapture will take place subterranean, it will take place simultaneously in heaven above, and it will take place with you and I walking around if we're that generation. What an amazing, powerful truth that is. What a great, great release that is. So you guys, if you're writing down points, it would be in the grave beneath, you can mark that down, in heaven above, as he brings the saints that died in Christ in previous times before the rapture. And then thirdly, it'd be in the moment. That's us right here, if it were to happen, like that little fake horn happened. But the Bible tells us when that happens, we'll be changed in the moment. Now, we shouldn't be surprised about the power of God, although it is awesome. Book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verses 50 to 53 tells us, we often forget this is in the Bible. When Jesus was on the cross and he was dying, when he was finished paying the price for your sins and mine, he said, it's finished. And then he says that he dismisses his spirit. Isn't that amazing? Jesus says, I'm leaving now. I'm leaving my body. And he died. The Bible says when he died, the earth began to quake. And then it says rocks began to split open, which is amazing. Scientifically, you can do that with rocks, with sound. The moment something reaches its, I lost the term. What is it? It's resonant, natural or resonance frequency, which is the frequency that can dismantle. You've seen the commercial where the woman's singing and the glass breaks? That's a scientific fact. Rocks can be completely broken if the vibration is at a certain decibel and wavelength level. So the ground shakes, rocks break open, and the Bible says gravestones open up, and the believing dead at the crucifixion in Jerusalem came out of their tombs and walked into Jerusalem. Both then, it says in Matthew 27, and after the resurrection of Christ from the dead 3 days later. Can you imagine? Ground shakes and people got up. People came. They were, and it says they were all believers in Christ. It says it right there in Matthew 27. Is that amazing? See, that's too fantastic. Get used to it. Number five, how does the rapture happen? How does it happen? Well, first of all, it happens by the will of the Father, by the word of the Father. God has given us his word. This is a doctrine of the Bible. And God the Father will see to it that it happens. I tell you what, if it doesn't happen, you can throw your Bible away. That's how serious this is. If God breaks his promise in one area, then he cannot be faithful in any. That's how beautifully sure. Secondly, it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, listen to this. Romans 8 verse 10 says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, I have to fight my thoughts. I have to fight my desires. I have to fight my passions, just like you do. But we fight. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You know what that means? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and he can't go anywhere without you. Did you know that? He has been sealed, your life has been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. It's his job, it's the Holy Spirit's job to give you to Jesus at the rapture or when you die. You ever seen a baton being passed in a race? Think of the Holy Spirit being the one that passes you over to Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He's been doing it since the day of Pentecost. God's going to see to this. Then thirdly, it's going to be to the glory of Jesus Christ himself. Ephesians 5 tells us that marriage between a man and a woman is a picture model of Christ's love and devotion to the church, the bride of Christ. Isn't that amazing? The Bible refers to you, the church, as the bride of Christ. It's to his glory. Okay, now, this kind of, I don't know. I'm going to share this with you. We'll see if this works or not. It's an original thought. If it's good, it's from God. If it stinks, then it's from me. But when you look at the doctrine of the rapture in the Bible, about what it does, it takes the dead, it takes the bodies of the dead, and it takes the bodies of the living, and it transforms them both. But at the same time, it takes the living believer at the moment of the rapture, and it takes the departed souls and spirits of those who have died in Christ, and it unites all of us in the atmosphere above with Christ. And the Bible says that when that happens, that we look forward to this glory that's to be revealed. Church, listen, I don't know of any other way in the Bible where the church is united and enters heaven. I need you to think and study that on your own. I don't see any other doctrine where the church is universally united and goes into heaven and it's there forever with Christ. There's no other vehicle. I'm talking body, soul, and spirit, the totality of you. Without the rapture, you ain't got that going on. Isn't that kind of cool? Yes. So why didn't the church I went to, why didn't they tell me this? I don't know. A lot of people say, we're not going to talk about that in our church. It's controversial. Truth is controversial.
That's right.
Yeah. And listen, Satan doesn't want you to have any hope. The Bible tells us that all of us who have this hope, we purify ourselves. What does that mean? It means we get serious with God every day. Why? Because he could come back then, and I want to meet him on good terms, and I want to do what he wants me to do today. Think of it. It's a good thing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Why do we need the rapture? Well, it's kind of what I said a moment ago. Number one is to get the church into heaven. There's no other way. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is talking to the church. Until Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, he's done talking to the church. No more talking to the church. Did you know that? Revelation 4, verse 1, Jesus is done talking to the church. You don't even see the church, hear the church, hear anything said about the church. You don't know nothing about the church from Revelation 5 all the way to Revelation mid-chapter 19. The next time you see the church, she's in heaven. Quite a gal, I might add. She's on a white horse. She has a wedding gown on. And I think because she's the church, right? She's got the implements of warfare, because it says that she comes with Jesus is in front of us, riding first point horse, right? And it says that out of his mouth, Jesus strikes the nations with the rod of his mouth, which is the word of God, and with him. It says the armies of heaven follow. And you look close and you read it and it's the church. She's got a wedding gown on, helmet, hand grenades on her hips, bouquet, sword. Quite a woman. Question is, how'd she get there? You gotta get the church into heaven somehow. In chapter 19, she's there. How'd she get there? You know how she got there. I find it fantastic and awesome that the heavenly scene and the earthly judgments cannot continue until the church is coming out of heaven with Christ. Secondly, the rapture triggers the beginning of the end. The church is removed from earth. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God hindering, and while he does hinder, he hinders until he steps out of the way, and then the wicked one will be revealed, the son of perdition. We know him as the Antichrist. The world governing leader is coming. Remarkable, awesome. And then finally, and I'm skipping tons of verses, you can go online and get all the notes in detail. There's a lot of verses I'm leaving off because of time. I love this last one the best. What happens next? Why do we need the rapture? To fill us with an increasing expectation. Oh, I love this. I mean it. You guys, sometimes things are just so wacky crazy. And you just, and I know you're thinking about other things. I'm thinking about finding out this person's sleeping with that person. This guy is doing drugs. This one's cheating on his wife. This woman's beating her kids. And they go to church on Sunday. And as a pastor, I mean to tell you, it's like, you know, sometimes I'm up here just biting my lip. And I'm totally with the person that says, by the way, me rolling up my sleeves has nothing to do with us rumbling. I'm just hot. But you know when somebody says, I'm not going to go to church. It's full of hypocrites. I understand that. I totally get it. Just know this. Jesus knows the difference. Okay? And when I think about his coming, the question to you, to us, does it excite us about his coming? Let that percolate in you, because listen, if you're living lifestyles that are offensive to God, and you think, what, he's just going to overlook you? You go, what, he's going to grade on a curve? No, he's not going to do that. It causes me sometimes to just get up and keep doing what I'm doing. It's enough to know Jesus could come back at any moment, because you wonder if anything that you're doing matters. You ever feel like that? Have you ever been a parent? I feel like a gigantic parent. And you wonder, are they listening? Then what are they doing that for? Are you with me? Yeah. It's like, get over here. You know? And then I'm reminded, Jack, you will answer to me. You are not going to answer to me. You're going to answer to him. And my desire, you can all stand. My desire is that these series of teachings will excite you and test your heart. Make sure you know Bible doctrine. I told you guys before we started this series, part of the design of it is to bring you into the full counsel of God's word, because many of you are new. And then I also said, if you remember, in doing that, it might cause some of you to go away. Charles Spurgeon said, when that happens, if you teach the gospel clear and the word of God true, that people who leave, he said, don't ever run after them. Because he said, those are God's blessed subtractions. Yeah. I want to leave you this picture. So I was driving yesterday and I pulled up to a stoplight. And I'm sure it was because of this message that there's a really cool, they're not a tow truck, but you know those really cool trucks where a car's on the back end?
Yeah.
Whatever that thing's called.
Flatbed,
black transporters, chrome rims, amazing. And I thought the transporter was awesome. And wow, that's such a great looking truck. And then I looked on the flatbed and there's a Ferrari. Red Ferrari. Beautiful. And I'm looking at it. And we pulled away, we're driving. And I'm thinking, that's a Ferrari in the back of that truck. That's nice. I wouldn't want to own one, but I'd like to drive one. Just for a few hours. And then it dawned on me, what's it doing on the back of the truck? Because this is where my mind goes. Why is it on the back of the truck? What's wrong with it? Maybe it doesn't have an engine. I can't tell. It's beautiful. Looks like it should get up and go. Maybe it doesn't have any gas. Maybe something's broken. Well, it's certainly not well, or it'll be on the road. It's on the back of that truck. And it hit me. Churches are like that. Oh, that's a good-looking church. Oh, beautiful steeple. My, my, you have the best steeple in town. And look at that paint job. Woo! How fast can you go? You just sit there. Something's broke. Best stained glass. You can even have super duper worship. You can even have fantastic message. But there's something wrong. Not the full doctrine of God. The Spirit of God's not exactly moving there. Something's wrong. You look like you could go, but you ain't going anywhere. In fact, that thing didn't go over 40 miles an hour because it was on the back of that truck the whole time. If I would have walked up to you and said, hey, want to have a ride in a Ferrari? Nobody would say no to that. The details are, yeah, climb up on the back of this truck. You can sit down. Can you imagine going around town? And you're on the back of a truck. I'm in a Ferrari. Not exactly. No power, no fuel, no change. No excitement, no thrill, no pushing it to the limit. And I want you to know that if you believe Jesus Christ is coming back soon, your Christianity, your faith will be put to the limit. You will listen, you'll push every corner and every curve because you're trying to get as much out of this for Jesus in your body, in your life as you possibly can. I don't care about a pretty church. I don't care about anything. Oh, look at that. Listen, can you get in it and can you go? Can you go all the way to heaven? That's based upon the doctrine and the teachings. Father, we trust you. We love you. We ask you, Lord, that you'd even come today. And if there's a man or woman, boy or girl right now that's very uncomfortable with that idea, they wake up right here and now to the reality that your Holy Spirit is saying, accept my son Jesus right now as Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead. And you would ask him to forgive you of your sins and that you'd determine today to walk with God for the rest of your life. Watch what he does. I tell you what, he'll put fuel in your tank. He'll start your engine. He'll get you on the track and he'll see to it that you'll finish the course. It's what he does.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, What Happens Next? Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scriptures from the Bible and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So today you heard an altar call at the end of the message, and I'd like to let you know that just because it was on the radio, it doesn't make it any less real. If you felt God move in your life today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd love to know about it, and we'd like to help you out with some resources. Visit jackhibbs.com, and there's a tab there that says Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. You know, in our desire to pursue God, we often find ourselves wondering how to do it in this fast-paced world. Well, I think our current featured resource is really going to help. It's called The Pursuit of God, a beloved classic by the late pastor and evangelist A.W. Tozer. The Pursuit of God is the fruit of Tozer's spiritual exploration into the essence of God's nature, and it'll help you on your own journey towards God. With well over 1 million copies sold, recapture the radiant wonder that comes from having faith in Christ and a desire for God above all. The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God at the highest possible level of fulfillment.
The Pursuit of God is a book that I have to read at least once, sometimes twice a year. It is so good, and you'll love it.
The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Hey, everybody, I'm asking you to mark your calendars January 10th, 7 p.m. Pacific time for a very special Happening Now service. This is 90 minutes, fast-paced, where I sit down with Seth Gruber, the leading voice for the pro-life movement. Seth is absolutely the tip of the spear when it comes to understanding the origins and the current issues of the pro-choice movement and where it's going. Friends, listen, Seth is going to be revealing to you some incredible information. For example, just one thing will be the linkage between Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, Adolf Hitler, and his march to destroy the Jews and homosexuals and other of dark skin. Where did that come from? Well, we're even going to go back to the ancient days of pagan gods. It's a remarkable, remarkable time. Mark your calendar, January 10th, 7 p.m. Pacific time, and you can view it live at jackhibbs.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.